at 7:15. We're.
Any members, Marcus Hansen, Lindsay Sal, and Mary West, all the presidents, other members of council, the mayor, administration, and a room full of people. So, the purpose of our meeting tonight is to discuss the City of Sylvania special event policy, which has been circulated. We've all taken a look at. Chief Miller, do you want to talk about that at all?
So, first, my career, I've had the opportunity to be in charge of almost every event that we've had in the city at one time or another. And the one thing I noticed that we were lacking is some cohesive rules and policies on how we do things and what our expectations are. And I had an opportunity in a recent class that I took to come up with a proposal. So I took that opportunity to build something for the City of Sylvania. By no means did I just sit down at my desk and come up with this information. I did go out and do a search, not only through the state, but nationwide. Some of the event policy comparisons I used were Dublin, Ohio, Grove City, Ohio, Lebanon, Ohio, Shaker Heights, Ohio, Westerville, Ohio, Rochester, Michigan, and Sherwood, Oregon. And then for the black parties, I also looked at Bexley, Ohio, and Grove City, Ohio. So, and I kind of pulled from what everyone is doing and picked what I thought would work best for our community as we've been doing things. So, that's kind of how we came to here.
I think, having reviewed the policy, it specifies that special activities requiring a special event permit include, but are not limited to, carnival, circus, concerts, fairs, festivals, rallies, locker runs, Julie pretty straightforward policy. Does anybody on the committee have questions?
Couple quick ones. The first one is, I'm not as familiar with what our existing amounts were, but in time to submit for permits ahead of time, as well as for sort of cost for events. How does this compare with how things have been?
Our only requirements right now is you give us 5 days notice,
okay,
which is nowhere near enough for us to plan events. As far as costs, there never has been a permit cost. So what I've seen over the years is we get a lot of requests. They come in, we review them, we do all the cost analysis, figure out how many officers we need, how many street workers, utility workers, if there's any special permits, then we take it all back to the person and say, here's what your prospective costs are, and they're like, we don't want to do it. So now we've just put a lot of man hours in through all of our divisions to get this organized. They have them say, yeah, we're not going to do it. So this is kind of an incentive to put to them to come to us prepared. You know, it's a nominal fee. It's not a lot. Some of them I looked at, like Dublin, I mean, their fees started in hundreds of dollars. And their top tier was like $3,000+ to hold a large scale event. And I didn't really feel like we wanted to punish anyone for wanting to participate here in our community, but we wanted to just put a little. We recoup so much costs for our man hours that are lost and preparing all this stuff and make sure people are serious about we're prepared and this is what we want to do and we understand that there's costs attributed to it.
So just to help give me just a little more context, in comparison with our existing special events that we have, so whether it's Fall Festival or Maple in Maine, will the fees that they're paying or have been paying last year, are they greatly changed by what's in here now?
They will have if they're a nonprofit.
I mean, like, is it going to be more than, like, I don't know,
No, but what we have also done, if you look on the fee sheet, is we have brought them into a line with what the costs are to the city. So before, we were only charging an hourly rate, well, it's not actually factual, we have fringe benefit rates, so the city is also paying on top of it. So the event is reimbursing us $35 an hour for an officer, when in fact the city's actually, that cost of the officer for the city is $60 an hour. So that's what we tried to do, and that's why there is kind of a jump in that, and there's also a three-hour minimum, because by contract, most of our police officers, and there's a set limit for the utilities and service workers, that their minimum pay, regardless of if you need them in here for half an hour, we're gonna pay them 3 hours. So again, that would be a loss to the city, instead of, it should go to the person that's holding the permit.
Just checking in, I wouldn't wanna hear, in a few months, what, we now cost three times the amount it used to, and now we can't even fundraise?
The plan is,
when this is passed, is to reach out to all the people that we have had permits with in the past, and get them copies of this documentation and announce them, hey, we're changing, this is what it's gonna be, this is a race card, when we have new people come in and wanna do a permit, wanna have an event, we hand them this handbook and say, go home, read it, come back to us with your questions, because it will pretty much answer everything, and attached to it are any city laws that are ordinances that affect it, so.
I think it's a lot of work that's gone into this, it's very comprehensive, and I can tell that you've done your research, and there's a lot of things in there I don't know if I would have thought of having been on the outside, but also I've helped plan some of the big events, and there's still some things in here, I was like, oh, good to know upfront about that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Question about this, similar to what Ms. Stowe was asking, you know, assuming this policy is put in place and we're not revising it very frequently, there's a chance that the fees, you know, they're referencing 2024 current fees, there's a chance that those would change more frequently than the policy itself.
They would actually be put into the annual fee schedule, so that they could be updated annually as the contracts would change with pay raises.
Okay, thank you. And one other question I had specific to the block party portion. What constitutes a block party? And what I mean is that just somebody saying we want to close off the streets? Or is that, you know, if a cul-de-sac is having a party, so to speak, but doesn't need the streets closed off, could you then step in and say, this should have been applied?
No, usually it's the block parties are because they want a street closed. And it has to be made by a resident of that street. So I can't come into your neighborhood and say, I want to throw a block party on this street, and I'm not a resident there. Because you wouldn't want that. So.
Absolutely, Mr. Clark. Go ahead.
So, if I heard you correctly, the policy before us has, did we send this out to organizations that typically utilize the types of things that we're looking at, like Redbird and others, prior to council seeing this or not? Okay. So, First Fridays, which is the one I think is more numerous than any other, would that be required under the policy to move forward with that?
If they were closing streets down for
it. But only if they're closing streets. So they...
If they're just having, like they did this month with the art walk, and you would go into the local businesses and walk around downtown, no. If they're doing, like they did the hippie fest that they want to close down, or a yoga fest and they close down the streets, and yes, it would require a permit.
And
but did before as well?
Yes.
Right, just to follow up on Ms. Stowe's question then, what would be the dollar cost impact for something like that? Do you have a sense of that? Is that Is it an extra $100? Is it no dollars? Is it $200?
My understanding is Redbird DSA has a nonprofit status, so it'd be a $50 permit fee. And then if there were any changes to a permit, so you've submitted it, and you come back to us and say, no, now we want to close additional streets, or we want to change the date, every time you do that, it's a $25 fee. Because it's sending it back through our entire process, we have to notify utilities, streets, fire department, police department, safety service director. So again, it restarts the whole process. So it's an encouragement to have your ducks all lined up in a row and do it correctly the first time.
Are you the juggler for this?
Pretty much, it comes into my division.
Okay.
And it goes to one of our records clerks, and she's responsible for gathering up all the paperwork and making sure that we have insurance, we have correct maps, we have all the documentation that we need, and then the dispersal to all the areas to make sure they have the information. I will assign it to my sergeants if there is an event that can be the sergeant in charge of it. And then we make sure that a cost analysis gets to the safety service director, and then once all that's gathered up, it's sent back to the applicant.
Okay, so just to reiterate and verify, so you get this into your department, but you assign somebody in records to make sure all the check boxes are checked, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, my understanding of this is that it is a comprehensive formalization of a process that we've been carrying out for a long time, and it increases transparency up front by having it in writing and having everybody on board with it. And appreciate your hard work and effort on putting this together.
Thank you.
Leslie, we have legislation.
We do.
I want to entertain a motion to approve the Sylvania special event policy and request legislation to that effect.
You're asking for a motion, did you say?
I need a motion.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we will move that to the agenda this evening. With that, unless we have any other matters to address.
Mr. Hale, was that comprehensive for the block parties as well in your mind?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that it wasn't two pieces of legislation.
Separate documents.
Okay.
Okay. So then I will move to adjourn our meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.